Welcome to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host today on VFN Radio, and joining me, my name is Greg Lancaster, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. A little technical difficulties. John may not be joining us today, but hopefully he will at some point today. We're so excited to be live back on the air. We have so much to share. God's doing some awesome things. There is hope. God is positioning people in this day, in this time, in this age to let you know there is hope in God. All things are possible through Him that strengthens us. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Right.
Well, here we are. Here we are. It is today. And, we have been working so hard. I don't know if you've been listening to VFN Radio. We've been sharing a lot of golden treasures of things and revelations that, you know, God has given us over the year. And I was really enjoying some of the words in here. It's just, I mean, you're talking about prophecy. I mean, every single day, you know, we have to hear from God and kind of seek His perspective. And we're just having a conversation, a light conversation, L-I-G-H-T, because every conversation that you hear on the news, the political conversations, the religious conversations, I mean, you just want to say, hey, I just want to go into my cave and just hide out. I mean, is there anybody who believes God? What happened to this God? Like, when you think about Gideon, Gideon's going, yeah, you don't hear. I'm hiding out in a wine press here, just trying to survive. And you got, you know, these angels showing up talking about mighty man of valor and talking about an awesome future. And he's saying, but what happened to the God of our past, that all the things that have happened in the past? And you begin to speak into his life. And let me tell you something. There is hope. There is hope in God. What's going on right now, as you can see, you might not even know it. You may have buried your head in the sand of denial sometime back, and now you're just kind of, I know some people that went, instead of, they didn't watch this. Listen, I don't even watch TV anymore. And you go, oh, wow, what holy people. They go, no, I just watch Netflix. It's like, oh, you're totally disconnected from all reality. Right. You want any news or anything that's going on, man, we'll let you know what happens when you start running this way.
Exactly.
But just thinking, my goodness. Now, God is preparing. He always has a way. And what's happening? What's happening in the environment today? God is getting our attention. And remember this. He's a loving God. God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. He loves you so much, He'll shake your world to all you have left to do is look up.
That's right.
And then He'll go, you know what? I love you. And you'll go, thank you for being there for me. Mm-hmm. And He'll say, you're welcome, and I've always been there for you.
Right.
And then He'll begin to restore things back to you one by one. And some people can have more restoration than others, because some people get fully restored and they start trusting again in the stuff that He gave them. And Hosea 2 talks about that, the restoration. He pulls things away, but He does that to establish. And there is awesome hope. You know, kingdoms come and kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, and God determines when they do. And if he even says very specifically that this kingdom will rise and this is its future, but all of a sudden its people begin to turn away from Him, then He'll say, never mind. Mm-hmm. I don't want, you know, the plans I intended for it, it's over with. You think about it. When you look at, and we're really talking about a little perspective here of God's news behind the news, when we're seeing all these things take place with North Korea and China and the Middle East and America. And when He told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, He's saying, listen, go. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Everywhere you set your foot, I will give you this land. And you think, and He says, you will never be defeated by anybody. Never by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened? They went to Ai.
That's
they
right.
went to Ai, the smallest town to defeat, and they got defeated and made a fool of an Ai.
They sure did.
And it's like some people say, well, I thought God said, like, but I didn't know you was hiding a wedge of gold and a mink coat in your tent. You know, it's like if we stay right before God, and there's hope. I mean, God will begin to bring us into a place, a promised land, not on this earth, but in Him, bringing us into heaven. And this journey is us learning how to trust him and how to get our morning bread, our manna, our part of Jesus, the word, the living and active word of God in our life. And we need some Joshuas to rise up and believe that God can take us in. You know, Joshua had his moments when he thought, oh my goodness, God told me that, you know, we'll never be defeated, and we just got defeated in Ai, and he began to cry out, and he said, yeah, we're just going to die. We're going to die. And God says, get off your face and deal with the one who has sinned. And so often, you know, we don't deal with sin in the camp. We just don't deal with it. Right. You know, we just kind of let it go and let it go. In tradition, you know, and I say tradition, in large majority of the church today, they've created such fiscal debt that it's a financial decision first before it's a biblical decision.
All right.
Second. And they take it to a board who makes financial and administrative decisions, and they give you a logical response. If you tell Mr. CEO or Mrs. CEO, whoever, that they got to deal with that, you know, they're going to leave, and that's like 20% of our budget. We're going to go belly up in this building. Mm-hmm. And it's like all of a sudden we began to trust ourselves and trust people instead of trusting God. And that's when we start losing the battles.
That's right.
Yeah, that's when we start losing the battles. And the thing is, if you look at God's people on their journey, just study those that have gone before us and realize, have you read Hebrews chapter 11? I mean, the Hall of Faith, have you read about those that we're supposed to imitate? I mean, if you look at the natural sense, you would think most of, you know, the world today, especially Americans, they would think, oh, these guys, they miss God.
Mm-hmm.
But God says the world wasn't even worthy of these guys. You can no longer, you can't measure God's success by how men view success. You just can't do it. And you can either be popular in God's eyes or popular in men's eyes, but you can't be them both.
Right.
What happens, though, when you do what's right in God's eyes, there's the people who want God will want to be around you. They want God. Mm-hmm. And you start seeing things take place. I just want to encourage you that though you're seeing things take place and you look to the leaders, and even in Washington, D.C., and you think, is this really happening? Are they really, is this like, nuh-uh, not me type conversations? You did it first type things, or about our entire nation. Are they printing so much money that we're going under now? Are they spending so much money that we're going under? Are we borrowing 40% of our money from China and other countries now? You know, are we picking a fight with Jacob,
right,
in Israel, with Israel? You think, oh my goodness. And you think about this. I want to encourage you that this is what God says. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from our wicked ways, humble ourselves, and seek his face, he said, then he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. He says, when I send plagues, when these terrible things come upon you that I sent, he said, basically, it's hardship. Consider hardship as discipline and treating you as a son. But if you'll respond to them, these things will change. Washington, D.C. is nothing but a reflection of the heart of America, American people.
Mm-hmm.
That's us. That's what they are. They're politicians. They actually get voted in by us, you know?
Right.
I mean, how can you yell at people that you voted in? Or your lack of participation in the democracy, in the republic in which we stand.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't stand.
While we stand.
Yeah, while we stand. And the thing is that how we change Washington is we change our hearts. And you know what? Let me tell you, I'll give you hope. Listen to this. Even the very people that are in Washington, God holds their heart in his hand. And if we'll change our heart, God can change their heart overnight.
That's right.
That what's happening right now is happening because the church's heart's not right. I don't care what anybody tells you. I'm hearing things like, they're preaching the gospel of grace. Well, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of grace. But once you make grace a gospel, that's a permission to sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the gospel of faith. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these other things are attributes to faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it's the benefits. And the last thing that we need to be focusing on is permission to continue to do wrong. We need to do right. Mm-hmm. So if we want to change Washington without even changing the people there, we can begin changing ourselves through personal transformation. Right. personal transformation. You could say, you know what? I kept on yelling at the world because it didn't adjust to me. God, I'm going to begin to adjust to you and entrust you to adjust this world. And that's how it works. You just begin to spend time with God. And we have a simple plan. If you've never done it, it needs to be simple. If it's not simple, you'll be defeated in it. You just need to be able to spend time with God on a regular basis. Abide with him like he talks about in John 15. He says, if you remain in me, if you're reading the NIV, if you're reading the New King James, abide in me, and my word abides in you, he said, listen, you'll bear much fruit, and all these great things will come out. What God has saved you for is a personal relationship with him. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. If you don't have a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. iabide.org. We're right back. Listen to VFN Radio. You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic. You know, John, I mean, you think about it. You know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you. You know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of peace, you know, some place that is a place that you can abide. You know, just I can get to my secret place, you know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now and you're a believer, that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation, it's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, you can, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah, you need to probably get, you know, most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease all the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan. And you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods. But go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. If you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you, a video and some information to be able to help. You could start right away in your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15. It happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org. You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction, that our God, through his son Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. This is the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you got to meet God through his son Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners, and by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, where we're keeping the conversation light. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton. We're just talking about cheer up. The Lord is in control, and he is raising up a people. He's positioning people. We have some great, exciting things we're going to be sharing with you in the near future about what the Lord is doing, what we're seeing him do. And yes, there is a storm on the horizon. Yes, we are in the midst of a storm, weather patterns that even the most educated meteorologists can't even explain. Even the global warmers are going, I don't know what's going on. I know it's snowing and it's spring, but it's been crazy. Everything's just, it's just out of place. But, you know, if you can go to VFN Torch right now, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch, you'll see firsthand that John Paul Jackson spoke prophetically about this, which means God said this was going to happen, and he shared the headlines, not a lot of details, but the headlines about what's going on. We've been seeing this as well, and you really don't want it to be a reality, but it's a reality. And understand this, that, you know, if you love God, you've been talking to people about the Lord, and they've been unresponsive, guess what? They're going to be more responsive.
They sure will.
There's nothing like having, you know, being thirsty and somebody showing up with a glass of water. You know, when you're desperately, you know, needing a word and needing to hear from the Lord, that's what happens. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Begin to abide with the Lord. Prepare yourself for what's about to take place. It's only going to increase, but understand that the kingdom is going to explode in growth. You know, it's going to, people are going to cry out to God, and God's going to answer, and he's going to save. And people that have been stuck and held captive, as Rick Joyner saw in a vision when he wrote about in the book called The Call, he said there's a lot of people held prisoner. They're held prisoner in a religious prison. And as long as they stay in the prison, then everything's, you know, the those that are being held captive to hold them captive are just happy as can be. But the second they start to climb over those walls, we're talking spiritual things, they begin to just attack and begin to just do everything they can. Because what happens is when you start coming out of the spiritual religious prisons, that and if you're upset right now because I'm saying that, you must be in a, you know, head of a prison or something.
You're
but
right.
If you're not, you're not. It doesn't matter what you're meeting in. But if all of a sudden somebody begins to get vision and they can see outside those walls, then there's these folks that are standing around the walls. This is his vision. This is Rick Joyner's vision. Mm-hmm. He wrote about it in the book, The Call. That all of a sudden they begin to attack that one. They begin to attack them and do everything they can to keep them from going over the wall. And going over the wall, the individual has to deal with all their fears and all the lies the enemy has told them how it's going to be. And they find out, though, once they make it through that barrier, that it was all a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing. It's all Satan is. He's a liar, you know, and he's the father of lies. And you find out there's a whole new world out there that God is God. And everything that he says he is and says he can do, he does.
Mm-hmm.
But the dangers are, once you got free, that there's all kinds of prisons like that all over the place that just some people just end up back in a prison again.
Right.
And if you haven't read the book, The Call, I encourage you to get it. Hopefully you'll be able to find it on the Torch today. Go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch. It was penned in 1998. November 1998 is when I think he signed it. He published it in 99, I think. And understand it's prophecy. But people say, well, that's an older book. Look, the Bible, come on. I mean, prophecy speaking about the future in advance. I mean, Joseph had a long ways to go once he first heard the word that his brothers were going to bow down to him. I mean, prison, you know, false accusation, slavery, a few little things had to happen first before that happened. But it came to pass. You know, we're in this instant generation where all of a sudden we go like, well, God gave me a word and it hasn't happened yet. And it's like, that was last month, dude. I mean, you still have to die still, you know?
Oh, I know.
There's a lot of things. You don't want it to show up too soon. It'll run over you. Your destiny will flatten you out. And I remember that you know, Joyce Meyer, she's a minister, you know, powerful. God's using her powerfully in the kingdom. And she just says all these things. It's amazing what she gets away with.
Mm-hmm.
But she was ready. She was so ready. And maybe that's you today. You feel like you're so ready. But this is what the Lord told her. But they're not ready for you yet.
Mm.
And understand, this is not your plan. This is God's plan. And Jesus' plan. Think about Jesus, God's plan for Jesus was 3 effective years. 3 years.
That's it.
That was it. 3 years. You know, he was going to just be faithful to his father, his earthly father, Joseph. He's going to be faithful to his father in heaven and faithful to his mother, and to live amongst, to live out the humanness of him becoming a man, and but do it sinlessly. And with that, all of a sudden, when it became his time, when everybody was right for him, and God had prepared the way, and we prepared the way for Jesus, that was his cousin, John the Baptist, who was born real close at the same time. They're about the same age, a few months apart. That matter of fact, they both were pregnant at the same time. Their mothers were. And John was out baptizing. God just put this fire in John's bosom to be separate. And this is, listen, you got to be willing to separate yourself from what is happening so God can bring to pass what will be happening. So many people want to hang on to what is, and they're not willing to just trust God and allow God. Because what happens when you step away from everything, you begin to get a new paradigm. You start thinking, what was I thinking? What were we doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? You start asking these questions. So then you go into God's word. You start finding things out like, that's not even in God's word. Where did that come from?
Right.
You know, and so in that, you have to be willing to separate yourself. And what God does, God, and it's important to understand that what was happening was God, and what will be happening is God. And so you have to honor both. You know, one example is that we're told very specifically in the Word of God that you cannot put new wine into old wineskins because it will destroy them. It doesn't mean that the old wineskin wasn't a wineskin, and it doesn't mean that the new wine's not wine. It just means you can't put the old with the new. Mm-hmm. But don't snuff out the new because you keep on wanting to connect to the old. Honor the old and move on to the new. Understand that the old primarily rejects the new. But that's, I really believe that's a God thing, so that you will not connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
It just pushes you away, and you're tempted to respond, but you don't. Because that would be wrongfully discerning the body of Christ. It would be saying something against the body of Christ. It rejoice in the fact that they don't want that to connect, because he says if the two come together, they'll destroy both.
Mm-hmm.
The old move of God and the new move of God. You know, sometimes you just got to say, I'll see you in heaven.
That's right.
You know, I'll see you in heaven. One good example of that also, I'll be talking about this hopefully this week, is that how the old move rejects the new move is, there's a million of them. If I think about Azusa Street with Charles Seymour, on Azusa Street, God began, he cried, one man cried out for God just to move. And God moved so powerfully, began to fill people with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was new for the church at that day. And it wasn't new for the church, but the church had gone so long without the revelation and the filling of the baptism, the power. And there people were getting filled in whatever language it sounded like. If that sounded like Mandarin, they go, you're going to China.
Right.
If that sounded Spanish, you know, you're going to Mexico, whatever. They would just send you places. And it's just a power. We talk about it today. As a matter of fact, a lot of the biggest movement happening on the face of the earth right now is the charismatic movement. You can see that birth really out of the Azusa Street. But his spiritual father, the one who trained him up, who was involved in the old move, and they've rejected Charles Seymour his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
He's an African-American. And they actually made him go to school while he was sitting outside the building looking in the window. So he was used to being separate.
Mm-hmm.
He was used to being separate. And thank God he was, because look at the charismatic movement today, because he was willing to go after God and not let that define him.
Mm-hmm.
But here he was, now the one that actually made him get educated outside the window,
right,
didn't let him come in the classroom. Now God begins to use him in Azusa Street in California, and all of a sudden, you know, God's moving, it's happening, it's powerful, undeniable. But all of a sudden, the old move, you know, Charles Parham, I believe, is a spiritual father, opens up a church, starts a church right across the street. And his sole purpose was, it appeared, he was holding deliverances for people that came out of Charles Seymour's Azusa Street move of God.
Right.
That's like, really? You know, you could really get offended about that. You know, I had to get educated, standing in the heat, outside, looking in a window.
Yeah.
You know, I went through all of that. I cried out to God when nobody else is crying out to God. God begins to move. Look at the power. What God's doing. And now you're going to open up. And it's like, you know what? You got to let that go. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? Does it mean because at one time they were rightly related that all of a sudden now that Charles, Parnham is going to think, that's not God? It's like, no, sometimes you got to say, hey, Moses is dead. Joshua's going in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is it. And you cannot, and I'll just go, this is what I was going to talk about, is, A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen was an evangelist used by God powerfully. He used to have tent revivals and healings, and R.W. Shambaugh was his younger spiritual son, I guess you could call that, that walked around with him, and he would say, you have no problem. All you need is faith in God.
Right.
That's what he was known for, healings and salvations and the tents. To Americans, they couldn't even probably imagine a tent yet. But we've seen God move in tents, haven't we?
We sure have.
8,000 square foot tents.
Yeah.
We haven't held revival like that in the tents, but we did some powerful things in there. Anyway, so, oh dear Lord, let it be air conditioned building. Anyway, and so the Lord spoke to, A.A. Allen reports this, you can read about this in God's Generals, written by Robert Lyrdon, that God said, I want you to start a radio station. And he really didn't want to do it. And so he took it to the church board, and he pretty much knew they would turn it down,
right?
And so he goes and takes it to them, and they go, they just shot it down, shot the whole idea down. Then he's thinking, oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden God speaks to him and said, what are you doing taking what I told you to do to a man to see if it's all right?
All right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
That's like, and he's needless to say, he got another radio program. And God used him powerfully. That's when R.W. Shambaugh was beginning to grow up under A.A. Allen, which would carry on the next generation. R.W. Shambaugh, you don't have no problems. All you need is faith in God. Tyler, Texas, 75711. That was what everybody would just listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was actually because A.A. Allen obeyed. Oral Roberts, when Oral Roberts saw what A.A. Allen did in tents, Oral Roberts had faith to be able to have tents and these tent meetings. And today we have ORU. When you think about all these different men who were able to ride on the coattails of somebody who just didn't, who was willing to obey God, to follow God, today we're benefiting from them. Think, what if Charles Parnham just said, I guess the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's all of a sudden they just say no to God.
Mm-hmm.
And then all this charismatic movement could be affected. How many people would be burning in hell today because maybe, Charles would have said, but he was used to rejection his whole life. Listen, you got to get used to rejection. Rejection is a blessing. When an evil person rejects you, when a jealous person rejects you, that's a gift. That's a gift, because why would you want that person to be that connected to you?
Right.
They're going to just bring you harm and trouble. Whatever you're going to do, do it quickly.
Right? Exactly.
That's key words. And so you have to be willing to follow God, to follow him. And when he speaks to you, and the thing about it is, that today God is releasing a whole deeper level of mountaintop experiences to a wide variety. And hopefully, he says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and they'll prophesy, which means they hear from God. So there'll be many people hearing from God, which means you won't be like those days where a few people heard from God and a lot of people followed a few people. Everybody will be hearing from God and will still follow God's authority. But it'll be just amen. Yeah, I heard that last night too. Is what God showed me last week. This is what we've been praying about that already. And we just kind of, and amen means when we get together, we're saying amen because we heard it too. It's the same God, same Spirit, same Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to begin to just hear that. And we're going to begin to hear the Lord. And even 8-year-olds will be able to confirm. And we're seeing this. We've been to the mountaintop is what talking about. We've heard the voice of the Lord. And you can too. And God's calling you there. But understand, right now, there is something happening in the face of the earth. It's happening in the American church, at least, that there's people that God is calling out to be separate. Not because of what presently you're around is not of God. That's not it. But he's doing a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that are dissatisfied with knowing that there's more in God. These are people that read the Word of God and they look at where they're at and they think, this is a contradiction to everything I read. These are people that said, the longer I stay here, the darker I get.
Mm.
isn't there a place that I can stay holy before God? This is a people God is calling out and says, you know what? There is a cause. This is like the heart of David. There's a cause. He knew he was willing to die for the cause. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against the armies of God? Listen, look at the church today. Look what's happening to the church. God loves the church, but the church is held captive. Who's going to be a David? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be a Gideon? Who's going to be a Joshua? Who's going to stand up and say, our God is greater than any of this. But see, you got to step out from what is to be able to become what God is going to do in the earth. And if think about this, the first great awakening was done on horseback, and that's what shifted America majorly. The second great awakening, what came after it, was the freedom of the African Americans from slavery. That was a byproduct of a great awakening, a second great awakening in our nation. What do you think is going to happen if we wake up? That's what a great awakening is mm-hmm. when the church wakes up.
Right.
And they did this on horseback, Pat. They did it on horseback.
Amazing.
Can you imagine riding that long on a horse? You know?
I can't even do it in a car.
I know. He's like, I can see you riding a horse now. Wait, Jesus, help me, Lord. I'm going to go sleep. And look at the technology we have today. Look at how quickly the word can get out. I mean, Azusa Street stopped because the secretary got jealous because Charles Seymour, married somebody and she thought she should have married him. And so she took off with a mailing list because that's how you communicated back then.
Right.
And she went to Oregon and it just stopped. The whole thing stopped. But you can't stop today. Today, bad, good, everything just keeps going and going. And everybody's trying to stop things, but you can't stop them. And think about this first and the second great awakening. What's going to happen if we begin to believe God for a third great awakening? What's going to break loose in the world? What's going to break loose in America? Listen, our God is able, but we have to leave our life of sin. We have to know God is holy. Without holiness, no man would see God. But we have to believe that with him, it's a greater thing. That his plans for us are good. Plans to bless us and prosper us. Listen, what people call freedom is truly slavery. And what people call slavery is truly freedom. Because whatever you obey, that's what you're a slave to.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're following sin, then we're a slave to sin. But if we're following Jesus Christ, then we are bondservants. We are sons and daughters of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Listen, there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is so much hope in him. Listen, all we have to do is humble ourselves, pray, turn from our wicked ways, seek God's face, begin to abide with him and obey him, and watch this thing turn around on a dime. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back in a moment. Establishes it with more than one witness. As a matter of fact, you'll begin to hear, as it's amazing, like a choir of those who are listening to God. You'll hear them begin to cry out the same thing the Spirit of God is saying. Yeah, you're going to have probably more naysayers in that type of situation. But listen, how could they know? How could they know what God's saying simultaneously? The very same thing, unless the same God, same Lord, and same Spirit revealed it to them.
Right.
You know, and there is hope. For America, there is hope, but you're the hope. The church, Christ in you is the hope of glory. You know, there is a way, and it's a very specific way, to be able to bring America back to the cross, to bring it back to the cross. As a matter of fact, right now, Steve Hill's talking to Peter Wagner, and he's asking the very same question. What should the message be? I'll be right back.
What should the message right now be from pastors, from prophets, from evangelists, from anyone who's in the ministry or anyone who calls themselves a Christian? What should the message be?
Well, you and I believe in revival. And I think that one of the keys to revival is Jesus' Great Commission. I mean, in Matthew quotes Jesus as saying to preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is saved will be saved, and who is baptized. And so, seeing the numbers of people being saved and baptized and then folded into churches and churches multiplying in a way that they multiply so fast that they change society leads us into Matthew's quote of the Great Commission where he tells us to make disciples of whole nations.
But you're talking.
You think about this. That's exactly what we're doing at VFN. It's a rapid church planting movement. Obviously, when you begin to move from what was to what is, it takes a while for everything to adjust, but it's like exponential growth. If you understand what God does, it takes a little bit. You know, Jesus started with his one, then he started with his three, he started with his 12, he had his 72, and it progressively grew. And the multitude we see today is because Jesus followed the Father. Are you ready to follow the Father and the leadership of the Son? Are you ready to lay down your life, get on the cross, and begin to say, you know what, it's a rapid church planting movement. It is the church, rightly related, rightly connected, discipled, functioning in the context of the Great Commission. But I'm telling you, I totally agree with Peter Wagner, and I totally agree with Steve Hill, that the hope for America is the church, because the hope of glory is Christ in you, and that's what bring it about. Listen, if you want to know more, go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. There's VFNU to train you up and launch you out. There's foundational aspects of building your basic discipleship in Jesus Christ, you know, getting and finding out what it's like to be family instead of an organization. Because listen, if we're going to move as family, you know, we got to be family. Family is what holds us together. You can't be an institution and family at the same time. It's called confinement. But you can be family. You're together because you want to be together, because you love God and you love each other. Find out more at vfnfamily.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio, where we are keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton. We're just speaking about, you know, cheering up and understanding if you're going to be a part of what God is doing, sometimes you got to let go of what God has done. You know, the song's about, give me that old-time religion. We need to remember the wonders of the Lord. We need to remember what God has done, but understand, let's don't define what God's going to do by what he's done. Understand he's going to do a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
The old thing ain't going to work, but the new thing, God's going to do a new thing. We're going to find this generation is going to be hungry for what God's going to do as he reaches them. We need to honor what God has done while refusing to say no to following God. Say, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow Jesus, even if it means that every Pharisee and Sadducee tries to make you sad, you see, and understand that, you know, I'm just going to follow Jesus, because this thing, at the end of this thing called my life, I'm going to be accountable to God by myself alone, no witnesses and no suspects. Guess what? You too. And if you keep considering other men's opinion of your eternal judgment and that moment before the throne of God, listen, they're not going to do you right. They're not going to be able to say, I like to call witness number 32 to be able to come in and testify why I procrastinated on the call of God all my life.
Right.
I like to call witness number 33 who testifies that I was making such good money, I thought I couldn't give that job at a time like that. That's not going to happen.
Right.
I'd like to call suspect three. Suspect three, this is the one who actually did this. It wasn't me. It was in the blame game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And blame stands for what? But look at my excuse.
Right.
Man, there's so many excuses. It's amazing. I wonder if God's going to let you just stand before his throne and say, you know, look, you got a minute? He's like, I live outside of a minute. Go ahead. Well, you see, it all started when it was my mama's fault, and then it progressed to my father's fault, and then it was my brother's fault, and then it was my sister's fault, and then it was my teacher's fault, and then it was my boss's fault, then it was my warden's fault, then it was the judge's fault, and then it was my neighbor's fault. You know, think about it. It's like, That's what a therapy session is like in some secular situation. Right. You know, you pay somebody all this money to find somebody to blame for something that you refuse to take responsibility for, which has to happen at the cross. So I want to encourage you that maybe God's calling you to be one. It just takes one. I mean, it just took David. That's all it took was David to stand up, a man after God's own heart, and say, listen, I believe. Could it have cost him his life? Yeah. In the natural sense, he was facing a giant, an army, and he had nobody backing him up. He had a slingshot and five rocks. That's it. A slingshot and five rocks. I mean, come on. I mean, we have like all kinds of, there's more guns in America. I mean, we don't talk about guns, but there's just all kinds of spiritual weapons, that type of thing, that we can actually do spiritual battle, not physical battle, to be able to win the war. We can stand up and come against, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not, we're not battling against people. It's spiritual wickedness and evil spirits and dark things that are, you can't see with your natural eye. And they manifest through people, but understand, if you deal with the spiritual thing, then the physical thing will just line up. I mean, you think about it with Pharaoh and Moses and God's people. They have recently had the Bible on History Channel, and you have Charlton Heston doing his Ten Commandments. But understand this, that God was orchestrating all of that. And at the moment he wanted Pharaoh to come and push harder against his people, he would touch Pharaoh's heart and he would push harder.
Right.
And the moment he wanted Pharaoh to back off, he would touch Pharaoh to back off. And the moment he wanted Pharaoh to chase him on into the Red Sea, they chased him on into the Red Sea. And the moment that he wanted the water to come down top of their head and drown them and kill them, he let the water fall down and drown them. He brought them to bitter waters, but he made the bitter water sweet.
That's right.
It's like, what point are we going to realize it's just between us and God? Mm-hmm. It's not these people. It's not definitely not a political party. It's not even a form of government. There's so many Christians today that are worshiping capitalism, you know, and some of them, others are worshiping socialism. And it's like, let's just worship Jesus-ism. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to the kingdom of God and let's quit, you know, trying to change the kingdoms of this world and realize we need to be the kingdom of God. And then in that, we can change the world by changing the heart of men. It's an exciting thing. That's how we change things from the inside out. The devil and the world's way is changing things from the outside in. Sometimes it never works its way in, but it is definitely from the outside in. If you just act right, you don't have to be right. Just do what I want you to do. With God, is you can look really whack, but you can be really good on the inside, and it's working its way out.
That's right. Exactly right.
Right. Whackisms 101. So I just want to encourage you, you know, maybe that's you. Yeah, maybe I'm speaking to you right now. And if that's you, listen, get a hold of us. You know, go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, vinefellowshipnetwork.org. We're looking for a few good men and women who say, the only good in me is God, and I'm ready. I'm ready to stand up for God in this generation and be heard, even if it costs me my life. I want it to be written of me in history that I was on the right side. I was on God's side. And listen, when you're on God's side, even if you don't make it in this life, you're going to be present with the Lord forever, and it's going to be good for you. I don't know if you heard about this, but in Houston, the Lone Star College just yesterday, they are reporting that the Star Telegram is reporting that there's five Houston, Texas stabbing victims. They're in good condition now. But 14 people were at Lone Star campus near Houston there and were stabbed by a knife-wielding 20-year-old suspect named Dylan Quick.
Oh, wow.
Just went around, just began to, investigators say that the suspect Quick attacked people at random and went from building to building on a rampage. Quick has been arrested and has given a voluntary statement. The Star-Telegram reports this. And understand this. If you wrestle not against flesh and blood, something got a hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If you go back and study, I bet you something got a hold of other folks there.
Right.
And the enemy begins to just play his game, the spiritual game of blame and critical rejection and all these different things going on. All of a sudden, the human beings that God loves begins to destroy each other. And this guy just started wielding a knife at random. I don't know if it was a razor knife. Don't know if it was a kind of knife it was. That went in there where these ladies were studying for nursing school, began to stab them in the head, cut them in their face, stab them in the neck.
Ugh.
And there's 14 stabbing victims. 14 stabbing victims in one moment yesterday. And it's like, are you... And at the very same time, understand this, that our current government leaders are wanting to take away our Second Amendment rights to defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The right to be able to bear arms, to be able to defend ourselves. At the same time, the church is responding to things in a physical way instead of a spiritual way. We're not realizing that we need to repent. You know, maybe Dylan wouldn't have done this if we would have gotten our hearts right with God. Because this is just going to escalate if we don't repent.
That's
the
right.
Church don't turn back to God. And he says it over and over again. So I want to encourage you to pray for these five hospitalized victims of the stabbing that took place in a Lone Star College and near Houston. And they say they're in good condition. They were critical last night, but now they're in good condition. But these days it's just happening again and again and again, which goes to show you that people are saying you got to take away guns. Well, right. You got to take away evil.
Right.
You got to take away evil to stop evil. And all you're going to do when you take away guns is create more victims of people from bats and knives and stolen guns.
Right. That's the same college, actually, back in January they had that shooting.
Yeah, I believe it was. I think we got a couple of campuses, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that was verified?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, the... But just understand that's, you know, if we can't just keep on not repenting, not doing what's right before God and think everything's going to be fine. We can't keep the church, God's people. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to say the church believers who are not believing, who are not walking, 82%, according to George Barner, not even reading the word of God. So how do you know if you're in sin, if you haven't read what it's in?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there's hope, but we have to turn. I think of this, that the next incident that happens in America, we should think as a church that, you know, we should have repented. We should have done what was right. Mm-hmm. Instead of blaming, you know, Sandy Hook, I believe it was, or these different shootings and stabbings and just craziness going on. You know, think about us taking ownership for the church. Because mm-hmm. he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, God will respond. I mean, if he can totally control Pharaoh's heart, every bit of that, and he was working out his purposes to show himself mighty, do you really think that God has lost control? Do you really think that God is uninvolved with our day-to-day lives? Do you really think that even Dylan Quick, that God couldn't have taken the breath from his lungs?
That's right.
No, I'm not saying that God had anything to do with that. I'm just saying he could have. But hey, if we're walking in rebellion to him, why would he? You know, why is a man whose wife is having an affair with five men going to defend her? Right?
That's right.
He loves her, but she's walking outside their vows. Mm-hmm. Well, the church, the bride of Christ, needs to understand why is our bridegroom, Jesus, going to defend us if we're unloyal to or disloyal to him? He loves us, mm-hmm. and that's that deep loving emotion. But understand that that we got to get right, and he says this is what our bridegroom said. By the way, just so you know it, he said it's better for you to be my wife, or enter heaven without an eye, without a hand, without a foot. He says I'll take you that way,
mm-hmm.
than to go to hell with all your body parts.
That's right.
You know, and how many people say you know. I'll take a wife without an eye, without a hand, without a leg. I'm not saying that those that have lost limbs. I'm just saying that's not people don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how much Jesus loves us. He's willing for us to go through so much turmoil that it will just rip our flesh apart.
Right.
But save our souls.
Save our souls.
Right. Save our souls. Isn't that awesome?
The loving God.
That is totally, totally awesome. Well, pray for these five recovering stab victims that are still hospitalized. 14 of them. The whole school's traumatized. This is tragic. And the last thing you would need to think about right now is think about that. Why would you want to unarm people that could have defended these guys? And there's three young guys, just brave young guys. Just, I heard him interviewed, and he said, "Well, one of us grabbed his backpack from behind and pulled him down, and two of us jumped on top of him and grabbed his arms and held him back, held his arms back like that." And he said, what did the guy say? And he said, did you say anything to him? He's going like, why did you do this? He said, I was yelling at him, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And these brave young men, you know, it's just like, yeah.
Wow.
That's Texas. You know what I'm saying?
That's Texas.
So many people would just do nothing. Mm-hmm. And they jumped on, they stopped them, and they held them until the police got there. And this is what the guy said. I give up. You know, it's just like, is that it?
Really?
Is that it? You know, you just stabbed randomly 14 people, and you say, I give up? You know, and what that is, it's just, you're looking like the, he says, this is what happens. Just listen, gently instruct those that are held captive by Satan so that God may grant them the gift of repentance, because they're held captive to do his will. What's his will? To steal, kill, and destroy. God has had his hand on our nation. He still has his hand on our nation, but he's lifting it. Mm-hmm. He's allowing things to happen in this nation that have never happened before. But you know what? The church is doing things it's never done before. And it's time for us to rise up and humble, rise up in a way at the cross and humble ourselves and bowing down before the Lord to say, you know what? This can change. This can change. Right now, I don't know if I have enough time to cover this, but prophetically speaking, Dudermeyer Duderman's grandson, Mike, he's in Russia right now. He was given a prophetic vision some time back. And he had spoke the vision, talked to me about it. I was hoping to have him on the air to talk about it, but he's still in Russia. It's kind of difficult right now. But what he saw was, God showed him was, and you have to understand how the money works in America, that every country in the world has to turn their money into the dollar, convert it, exchange it for dollars, before they can buy oil. So we have the controlling currency for the world, the globe, mm-hmm. that came after the war, World War II. And that's how strong America was at that time. Mm-hmm. Was. And this is what he saw in the vision. He saw China, North Korea, and Russia in a room together making a covenant. And they were saying, why should the American dollar basically be the dominant thing? In other words, just take that down.
Right.
And what do you have today? You have Russia all in the Middle East right there, willing to buy Cyprus. You know, they're willing to take over the mineral rights for Cyprus. Mm-hmm. It's all about oil. And you have North Korea, which is not even a force to be reckoned with, you know, kicking up a big storm with a new leader there who Pat Robinson reports from CBN that it's actually his aunt that's leading the country, which would be his father's sister from behind. We're not going to go there.
Right.
And here they are threatening, you know, we're going to shoot nuclear weapons at South Korea. We're going to shoot a nuclear weapon at missile at America. And people say, well, you know, he's not going to do it. And, of course, that's what they said about Hitler. But understand this. All of a sudden now, China steps in. China's huge. North Korea is like a gnat. These are like nuclear firecrackers they're talking about there. And China steps up now and is going to show up as the hero. And they're starting to, you know, express their power, and they're saying this doesn't. One country does not need to be stirring up the whole Asian area here, and now China's going to come in as a hero, and so, and you had Russia standing there reportedly, according to CBN News, in North Korea when they were firing off those nuclear test missiles. Mm-hmm. So what do you have? You have China, North Korea, and Russia that are partnering here. What's going to happen in the last days? The last days is China is going to march all the way up to the Middle East, and so big of an army is going to drink the rivers dry, going for resources to be able to feed their nation. Wow. What's happening right now? Let me tell you what's going to happen. I don't know how much time I have left, but understand this. If, in fact, that we lose the dollar as the currency for exchange in the world, and we have to now turn our dollars into kronas or whatever money that is the next money out there, then overnight, it could take us $1,000 for a loaf of bread. Mm. It's not that the bread costs $1,000. It's just the dollar is not worth anything.
Right.
It's like the Weimar Republic. That's what happened. And we're doing the very same thing. We're printing money, and it's like we are being turned over in our faces to our own selves if we don't repent and turn back to God. I'm going to share more about this in the extra hour today. Hopefully you're going to be joining us, but understand this. This is what Michael Duderman was saying, is that when he saw, and this is some time back, this is we're seeing it come to pass now. You're seeing Russia, China, and North Korea partnering up. Understand that 40% of our debt's probably owned by, it's borrowed, majority of it comes from China.
All right.
And it's, they don't think anymore like nations. They just think one world economy. And these things like, I don't know, the Constitution gets in their way. Mm-hmm. And they want to be able to stop the dollar and take its power away. And they can do that by overnight to switching it to some other currency. And right now, it's like they're waiting to boot that up as soon as we say and let go of our own Constitution. But by God's grace, if the church repents, if we rise up, there could be a third great awakening, and this whole thing can turn on the dime. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.